This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Good morning. You are listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees to combat tours in Iraq. I want to welcome you this morning to Battlefield Expressions and to just kind of give you a quick update. We are still doing our Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy Program, and it is going excessively well. And we are so glad to be able to have the families that are coming to the program and the veterans who are coming to the program. We have Korean War veterans. We have Vietnam veterans. We have Desert Storm veterans. We have Iraqi freedom veterans. We have family members. We have children. We have spouses. We have widows. We have Blue Star moms. Moms with their kids are serving in the military right now, and this is helping them to be with a community of veterans and family members to help them with the stresses of their kids leaving home and then also being in the military. And so what a great opportunity it is for us to be able to have this program available to our community. It's open to all veterans and all military family members. We want to remind you that the whole program is sponsored by the Northern California Veterans Museum and the California Arts Project, and this is through a generous grant from the California Arts Project to be able to reach out to veterans that are in need. You don't have to be a PTSD veteran. You can be a veteran that's just looking to work with other veterans, to be able to have something to do in your life, something that is positive, that promotes well-being and good health. And we have such a good group of individuals who are there, good attitudes. It's just a wonderful atmosphere. And once again, if you'd like more information about this program, I'd like to go ahead and give you the firehouse phone number, which is down in Cottonwood where the classes are being taught. And that phone number is 347-8068. 347-8068. And that is being held at the Cottonwood Firehouse, the old historic Cottonwood Firehouse down in Cottonwood, which now belongs to the Northern California Veterans Museum. It is our restoration facility, and we are using that as a hub for all of our Homeward Bound programs and for battlefield programs. This Easter, last week, we were able to hand out 50 meals to military families that were in need. And those meals were full ham meals and full turkey meals. And they came with a couple of different bags and boxes full of groceries and goodies and things for the families. I think there was 28 baskets, Easter baskets, that were handed out to the families that had children that were in need. All of this is facilitated through our Iron Soldier Ride, which we had this last October with Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo and Steve McCarley and his wife. They're great supporters of our veterans in our community. And when you attend different events that we have, such as the Iron Soldier Ride, it helps to promote us being able to take care of the food for veterans at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And because we had such a good turnout this last year, we were able to supply these meals to veterans' families that were in need at Easter. And so as we continue to move through the year with the events that we have coming up, I just want to say thank you to those individuals who stepped out and helped support these programs that we have for the Northern California Veterans Museum, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and now Battlefield Expressions. We have all these great things that are going on in our community, and we don't talk enough about the programs that we have. We need to talk more because we're usually out pounding the sidewalks, taking care of the veterans that are in need and getting that help out there. And this morning we're going to have some guests that are with us here from Shasta College with some other programs that are going on. We're going to talk with them about what's taking place and how we can help the veterans through our local community and our college system and other programs that are out there and available. Last week we had the Converse Construction on. Les Converse was here, and we talked about how he had some construction jobs that were available for veterans in our community that have any type of construction experience or would like to have more construction experience. And he is a veterans business organization. He is one of the largest business organizations in Shasta County that supports veterans in his business process. And so we want to shout out to individuals in our community. He is a Navy veteran, and we want to say thank you to those individuals who continue to help our veterans coming back from the war zone, coming back from extreme stress, from their op tempo, from wherever it is that they may have served their country. And then to be able to welcome them back into our community and to say thank you to them for their service. And now we want to be able to give you a hand up, not a handout, but a hand up to get back into your career, to be able to get back into your home, to be able to get reestablished, and to be able to help you. And if you're struggling, we supported each other in the military. We helped each other with our rucksacks and our sea bags and everything else. We helped each other as we're doing our training, the hand up to the next step, the next level of what we were up against. And as we come home and we serve here in our community as veterans with veterans, we continue to want to honor that. We continue to want to be able to help our veterans as we move forward. And so that is so important. We also want to remind you that coming this July and August, July 28th through August 1st, we are going to be bringing the Wall of Honor, the Wall of Remembrance here to Shasta County. And that is going to be at the Northern California Veterans Museum property on top of Ronda Road and Cottonwood Hill. They're just south of Walmart in Anderson. That is actually Shasta County Incorporated, unincorporated. And it is important for us to remember our veterans, our young veterans who have served since the global war on terror, since 9/11, to be able to bring this wall. It's the 10th year anniversary of the Wall of Remembrance, which remembers the names and the individuals who lost their lives that day on 9/11 and also have served in the global war on terror since that time frame. And we will have that wall there for 4 days. It will be open 24 hours a day. It will be open to our community. We want you to be able to reach out and tell as many people in our community, in the counties around us, and throughout Northern California and Southern Oregon. We want individuals, we want the community, and we want veterans and their family members to come. This is a wall of healing. This is a wall of remembrance. This is the place where we'll be able to invite you in and have you be a part of why it's so important for us to continue to fight and serve for the freedom that we enjoy every day. You know, there's a lot of different people out there that take a lot of different spins on freedom. But let me tell you, when the rubber meets the road, when the bullets are flying, when you're trained to be able to put your life in front of the lives of others to sacrifice, no greater love hath a man than to lay down his life for another friend, for another individual. And that's what we as military personnel are trained to do. We are trained to step up, we're trained to be leaders, and we are trained to be able to take the place of another if another goes down, and also if we need to be, to sacrifice our own life in the lives of others. And it's not just for your buddy, it's also for your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, the neighbor next door, the man down the street, to be able to say, this is my nation, this is my country, and I choose to wear a uniform that means I may have to sacrifice my life if I'm asked to do it. But I choose to do it willingly. Nobody is forcing me. We're not a communist nation, not yet anyway. And when it's an opportunity for us as volunteers in our United States military to step up to the plate when we are asked to serve and to wear that uniform proudly and to be able to do the job that we are asked to do, whether it's at home or whether it's in a combat zone, and then for us to come back home and to live our lives as proud, honorable citizens, And sometimes that's difficult. And that's why we have our programs, to make sure that we carry on to say thank you, though, to those who have served our nation. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days and came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Good morning again. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Millie Israel and James Kay. And James, I'll let you introduce your last name here in just a minute. And they are part of the Veterans Service staff at Shasta College. Good morning, Millie.
Good morning.
And good morning, James. I want to make sure, because I was calling you Dave earlier, so I want to make sure I get your name properly. Sometimes I have so many other things on my mind that I just call everybody the wrong name or whatever. Thank you for being here this morning. You're both veterans since the post 9/11 time frame. And Millie, you were just talking to me. We were talking about you joining the Army. You joined the Army September 10th of 2001, which is
perfect
the day
timing.
Before 9/11. And so tell us a little bit about you going into the service. You were an MP, mm-hmm. and talking about choosing the MP program, and then a little bit about where you served.
So I knew I always wanted to be in the military, and I also knew I always wanted to be in law enforcement. So why not combine the two? I didn't realize how hard it was going to be because I needed a waiver because I was too short. And so got everything in, and my sister and I enlisted together for the delayed entry program because we were going to wait a year. And 9/11 happened the next morning, and they said, nope, we need you in November. And so we were on the first flight out from San Jose to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, or Fort Lost in the Woods, Missouri, as we like to call it.
Of course.
For training. And it was, for me, it was a mixture of knowing that I'm making my own dreams and realities come true, but also what just happened to our country.
Right.
And what does that mean for us? You know, people say, you know what you asked for when you enlisted for those that have gone to war.
And no, you don't.
You don't.
No, you
and
don't.
When I enlisted, we weren't at war.
Right.
We were nowhere near war.
Literally 12 hours earlier.
And so it was, you could see the passion and everybody there that was wanting to be there. And we, like you said, helping each other up to the next level and making sure that we were trained because we knew at this point, at some point, we were going to be shipped out. We didn't know when, we didn't know where, for how long, but we knew it was a reality, and our drill sergeants made sure we knew it was a reality.
You know, it's one thing to join because you want to join everything else, and not necessarily because there's a war going on, even though you know that might happen. But
yeah.
Then to find out that literally the next morning there's a war, and now your whole different perspective on life changes.
Right.
Because now it's not just joining and then going to serve someplace and going to A school.
Right.
Now you're going to be heading to a combat zone someplace, and there's no other way around it. It's going
right.
to happen.
And that's one thing that the drill sergeants let us know, is that the difference between the cycle before us versus our cycle was they knew that they were going to serve. They knew that they were going to be sent off somewhere to do their job. Versus us, they knew that they were training us to send us off to war. And that shifted their perspective.
Sure.
Because I just graduated high school. And so we have all these people graduating high school who these men and women are now training to send off to war, not knowing what was going to happen.
Just like World War II and Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Yes. A lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you chose the MPs.
Absolutely.
So where was your A school for that?
So with military police, it's a one-stop. So it's an OSET training. So we're with the same soldiers and the exact same drill sergeants from day one until they ship you out to your duty station.
So how long was that period?
17 weeks.
17 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then we got our orders and I ended up getting orders to Germany. And my husband at the time was stationed there already. He went in about 6-7 months prior to me. And so got to Germany, walked in, tried to figure out where I was supposed to go. And I'm in a whole new country, don't know how to call a cab, don't know how to do anything because I don't speak German. I took German for a year in high school and didn't pay attention because I didn't think I was ever going to need it.
Right.
And my first sergeant literally comes up to me, shakes my hand, says, welcome to the 127th Military Police Company. Keep your bags back. You're going to Kosovo. And I'm just like, what the heck did I just do? And where is Kosovo?
Right.
And how do I tell my parents?
That's like when during Vietnam they joined up and they were sent out and they said, well, where's Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, where's Pearl Harbor?
Right.
All of a sudden you're being introduced to all these new countries and names and things like that and new languages, and it is literally a brand new experience.
Right.
Because you're not going as a tourist.
No.
You're
not
going
at all.
Into the war zone, and hopefully you can keep your wits about you through the entire process.
Right. And I think one of the things that made it easier for me is I had just come out of basic training. And so I had all that training. It wasn't one of those I went to basic training and now I'm deploying 5 years later.
Right.
Where we haven't really done any full-on training for anything.
Yes.
So I was still in that mindset of, okay, this is how we've trained. I don't know what we're doing in Kosovo. I don't know where it is. I don't know what's been going on over there. This is going to be interesting. But it was in the still in that mindset of, okay, this is what our world looks like right now, and there's no going back. And I can either freak out and be scared and terrified and get myself or someone else killed, or I can continue in that mindset of like, okay, we're all coming home.
Right.
I don't care what that looks like. We're all coming home.
Right.
Plain and simple. Because if you go in with any other mindset, that's a dangerous mindset to have.
Oh, sure it is, because you're not paying attention. It's like driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour and looking at your phone.
Right.
You know, it's what happens there. I mean, the fatalities.
Yeah.
So it says you've got to, when you find yourself in that position, you have to be able to have that mindset to know, I've got to pay attention every chance I get, because if I don't, that will be the opportunity for me to lose my life or limb or the life of somebody else.
Correct. And so, yeah, that's just the mindset I had to have. I was 18 years old, and while my friends were off partying and, you know, running the streets and going to bars every night, I was worried about coming home and making it back to even just camp, not even making it back home. It was, how are we going to make it back to camp?
Into the wire.
How, we just got to get in here and be fine. And even though that's not always the case, even behind the wire, you're not, it's not guaranteed safety.
Right.
But you're not out in the general public where things are going on. But
well, let me ask you, I don't get enough female military personnel on the program. I ask lots of women to be part of the program. I don't always get them to be, whether they're bashful or whether they've got other things going on in their life. Give us a perspective. We never get the perspective from a woman that's in the modern day military today. Some of the concerns that you've had, some of the things that you learned, some of the things that maybe the military can still change. But if you were talking to a girl that's thinking about going in the military today, especially since you were Shasta College, what are some of those things that you would bring to the table?
Ooh, that's a really tough.
I know it's. I know
that's
it's
a
tough.
Loaded question.
Yes, it is.
Especially
answer as you will.
So I would definitely encourage women to go into the military, and I say this cautiously, that you have to go in as a different mindset than a male would. There tends to be more danger for women in the military.
Right.
A lot of that is coming to the forefront, and a lot of that's been in the media lately. So it's one of those you have to not only pay attention to your job and what you're doing, but also when you're not at work, constantly paying attention, constantly,
situational awareness.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And it's a lot of pressure. And it's not, it's nothing, how should I say this? Whatever happened in the military when I was in, I wouldn't change it because it's made me who I am.
Right.
As weird as that sounds. But there is more fear for women in the military. But with the way things are changing and the way things are going to eventually change, I still encourage women to go in. And I still think it's, more women need to be reflected in the military and represented in the military. And it's not just the good old boys network that people like to think it is.
And I think that one of the things that can be that our society, because we have a society that's we try to make sure that the people that go into our military are upright, forthright people that have integrity, that try to do the right things and things like that. We get dirtbags in the military, too.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that sometimes those dirtbags find out how easy it is to lead other people on and take advantage of them.
Correct.
Because it's not just women that get taken advantage
of. No, not at all.
It's other buddies that get taken advantage of also. And so we tend to put a false trust in these individuals because we've been with them for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever else. But they've been held to a different standard at that time. But as soon as they let their guard down, the real person or the wolf actually shows through.
Correct.
And I think that a lot of times that when women are taken advantage of in the military is because they had put their trust in a fellow military person who gave them a false pretense. Mm-hmm. And then when they let their guard down, they're taken advantage of.
Yeah.
I saw that as a senior chief and as a chief petty officer with other individuals. They were being recalled and going through the process. And we had to be very careful to look for those individuals and weed them out before they created those situations. Because once they create the situation, they can ruin a person's life.
Correct.
And they can ruin a command. and they can ruin the whole situation of trust in that situation. And we all want to be able to trust the guy that's next to us with a loaded weapon.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Supposed to be covering my six and whatever else. And it, as a chief petty officer in charge of personnel, was very difficult and very important for me to be able to look and see that. So I understand those situations that women come up against in their situations right now. We're going to get ready for a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series Number 2. Crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf, Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our second guest is James K. You can pronounce your last name.
I can. Konopitsky. James Konopitsky.
Konopitsky. All right. And so I didn't want to butcher it, and so I let James go ahead and say that, in the United States Air Force veteran. And James, I don't want to just step right into it. I just want to finish talking with Millie for just a second. Millie, we were talking about women and females joining the military and things like that. So before we step off and into the Wild Blue Yonder and talk with James, I just wanted to finish your statement and your comment about women being in the service, because I think it's really important that you finish that statement about talking why you would encourage girls or young women to still continue to join the military.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception that, I mean, in a lot of spots, it is a good old boys network, and that's the reality. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no hiding behind it. That's fact. But more women are being represented in combat jobs. When I was in military, police was the closest that a woman could get to combat. And that's another reason why I wanted that job, because I wanted to be where the action was. I didn't want to sit behind a desk. And I think that with doors opening up and women proving that they can do these jobs, more women need to go in and prove that they can do these jobs and be represented and show that the military isn't one-sided. It's not just men ruling everything. And that just because you're a woman does not mean that you have to stay at home and raise kids, and you can go out and have this amazing career and travel the world and see things and then decide what you want to do in your life, and that you're not limited, because the jobs are endless and the experiences are endless and the friendships and everything is endless.
Well, I know that in the Navy Seabees, when we were in Iraq, we had women drivers. We had women equipment operators that were in the bulldozers, backhoes, and different things like that for the different projects. We had them out on the bomb crews where they would be filling in IED holes and repaving those areas where the IEDs had gone off. And those were dangerous areas because the Iraqis would plant secondary IEDs. So the EOD would go out and they say, okay, this hole is clear. But then down another 3 or 4 feet, there was a secondary IED, and their metal detectors and their bomb sniffing dogs were not finding those 4 foot bombs. So when you put the shovel of a backhoe down in the bottom of that to take out that loose dirt, boom, you've hit that secondary IED, and now you've blown up the operator and any crew that might have been standing around that. So there was always a danger no matter what and no matter where you were at. Mm-hmm. We had female corpsmen that were on the line in the convoys that lost their lives, that gave their lives. One of the first Navy personnel that lost their lives in Iraq, she was at one of the checkpoints checking the females as they were going through. And on the way back, they were hit by a SUV IED, suicide-borne IED, and they were all killed. It was 3 Marines and 1 Seabee, and she was the first female in Iraq. She was part of our unit that was killed there in Iraq. And so we knew her personally. So it affects everybody that's around you. But, yes, those dangers are everywhere. You know, people say, I don't want to join the military because you're going to get killed. Well, why don't you just drive down I-5 through heavy traffic and watch the people talking on their cell phones and watch the people that get killed every single day talking on their cell phone. They give their lives for no reason whatsoever. If you're going to give your life, why don't you give it for the cause of either freedom or of the protection of your family or your nation or for your brother or sister you're serving next to? Mm-hmm. Why not give your life that has a cause instead of throwing it away because of a cell phone or some other foolish distraction? And so, yes, I would encourage also our young people, whether they're male or female, men or women, boys or girls, if they're of age and they have the opportunity. There's so many other learning skills, and we'll talk about that are available out there to them. There's, for those that are willing to work for it, there is a world of wealth of knowledge that is out there that can be used in the military and outside the military. Mm-hmm. So as we've transferred from that, because we're short on time, James, we want to talk a little bit about why you joined the Air Force and where you served, and give us a little information about your experience.
Absolutely. Actually, my experience is quite different than what Millie shared and what you've been sharing too off the air. Completely different from combat situation. I actually joined in 2007, so it was a little later. I was actually in high school when the post 9/11 happened, you know, September 11th happened and all that. And then just a trickle effect with friends. I had a few friends that joined. They would come back after a year and be completely different. And this was, you know, slowly having an effect on me. I'm sure it had effect on a lot of people. But during that time from when I graduated high school and actually joined up, I was actually moving into a Fortune 500 company. I was actually going kind of up in the ranks, I guess you could say.
Sure.
I was moving up to more of a manager position. But there's just there was a void. There was always a void. And my family is not really a military family. My grandpa was in World War II, but kind of stopped from there.
Right.
And I've been known to do some things that my family doesn't do. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I've had buddies that gone in. I've seen how they come out. You know, I want to relate to them. I want to get a sense of what's going on out there. And I want to fill that void. I want to do something a little bit bigger. And
right.
Better than what I'm doing.
Well, one thing about being in the military is you are a piece of a cog, mm-hmm. which is a giant machine that moves forward. But and sometimes there's questions about it, but I would say that 90% of the time, that machine that's moving forward is doing great and wonderful things, mm-hmm. not just here in our own country, but around the world for other people who are in greater need than us.
Yep, absolutely. So when I joined, I actually was able to choose my career. I chose airfield management. So it was a very niche, very small group. And I was actually ended up getting stationed at one of the very unique stations for airfield management, which was at Andrews in Maryland, which is the presidential base.
All
for those that
ones.
Don't know.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so I definitely got to utilize my management skills. Absolutely. But one of the things that was very unique there that I'll never forget, because I was always on the flight line, making sure that airfield was operational. That was the key element of my job, was seeing these C-17s on how frequently, even in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, even all the way up to 2011, me getting out, seeing those C-17s come in sometimes on a daily basis. Every once in a while, they may skip a day or so. But because we're close to Walter Reed, which was the huge Army hospital in that area, these C-17s would come in, and you just see these three or four buses pull up, and you see them just pull out these gurneys and just put them in the buses, and then they take off. I think that's probably one of the most starkest things that I'll remember, even at a base that's like that, you know, because I would see the president, you know, almost every day. Whenever he flew in, flew out, I've seen Amirs, Kings, all that sort of stuff. But it's so interesting. My mind always goes back to those troops coming back. And then knowing that just above us at Dover, they're getting C-5s, which are a bigger aircraft of those that have deceased that did not make it back. And just making that comparison in my head just, for me, was wow. You know, it's incomprehensible what's going on over there. So I did actually get deployed before I got out. I didn't get deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, but I got deployed to Qatar, out there by Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Right there on the Gulf. I actually didn't know what I was going to get myself into.
Do we ever?
Right? Exactly. Exactly. And I come to find out for airfield management, it's one of the busiest overseas fields to work at.
Qatar is.
Yep. Qatar okay. is. Because it's kind of the hub for the whole Persian Gulf area. For flights and stuff like that. So, gotcha. So, so just being over there and then just seeing the amount of fluctuation of aircraft leaving, coming back, air refuelers, and I actually knew where they were going and what they were doing as an airfield manager. I had that radar. Seeing the B-1s take off and knowing exactly who they're going to support, just up the ante for me in my duties and job. And I was like, you know what? And there was almost a form of frustration to make sure that stayed the way it did and those planes got off. So completely different story than...
Well, it was critical because we were the ones that were on the ground there. You were there in 07. Mm-hmm. What year was it?
07 to 11.
So you're in... But when you're in Qatar?
Oh, 2010.
10. Okay. Yeah. So I was already back by then, but my son was there in Fallujah with the Marine Corps at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we actually served a year and a half apart from each other, but we walked the same grounds in Fallujah, father and son. And so I know how critical it is for being able to have those fast movers. We called them, you didn't know what they were. They were just screaming above your head. Mm-hmm. We just called them fast movers coming across. And we knew that they were there for a mission and they were taking somebody out. And that somebody was against us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whether they were, helicopters or, high flying C-130s coming in to take care of a mission, into Altacatum or the fast movers coming over and dropping rounds around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we didn't call them in, somebody else did. But it was, it's just the orchestration of everything coming together to be able to take care of the individuals who are on the ground, because the boots on the ground was where the action was.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else supported the boots on the ground. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're talking about Iraq at this moment, and we're talking about service in the Air Force and service in the Army. We'll be right back.
The Turtle Bay Spring Plant Sale has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. And you may qualify to get the 26% federal tax credit. At Powerhouse Solar, we are an elite dealer for SunPower, and we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels. A lot of people don't realize they have options now. You can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar with financing, so keeping the lights on when the grid goes down is easier than ever. And the entire system is backed by their 25-year warranty. Powerhouse Solar can design a system for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com. Again, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit us online at powerhousesolar.com.
Hey, Redding, guess what? Our dining room at Black Bear Diner is open again, and we're bringing chili back. That's right. Come dine in comfort inside of our Hilltop Drive location. And special for March, ask for a bowl or cup of our delicious homemade chili, or try one of our new chili creations, a chili stuffed breakfast burrito, a chili cheddar cheeseburger, or for dinner, our tri-tip chili platter. Come dine inside or order for takeout at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do? If not me, Mama. If not me, then who? they're shaving, his clothes are stark and pressed. I'm down here praying, my mind is in a mess. I ask where he got these crazy ideas anyway. He just smiles and says, it's the way that I was raised. And if not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, Daddy, if not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we have our two guests here. We have Millie. And we have James from Shasta College, and they are, Millie served in the United States Army, the MP, and then James also served as a airfield manager overseas, and then also in the United States. And we're just finishing up talking to you, James. I want you to just finish a little bit about your story, and then we're gonna, sure. We want to talk about the next level. In fact, you know what I want to do is I want you both of you to just finish talking about your stories here. I'm going to have you come back, and we'll talk about Shasta College. Because I think Shasta College deserves it's a full hour, and we've lost an hour in our program, so we can't do it justice. But I think that it's important for us to carry on with both of your stories and to explain, just like the song says, if not me, then who? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about why you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rob, I mean, the stories make the people at Veteran Services at Shasta College. And, you know, it'd be great to come back. I would love to come back to talk about it.
You're going to.
Everything. Great. Excellent.
I want you both. Both of you to come back.
Because there's so many stories that go on at that place.
Yes.
Especially talking with all the veterans that come through. But yeah, to going back to my story, when I was deployed to Qatar, even though I got out shortly, and I'll explain why I got out, but one of the words I said was frustration when I was there. As an airfield manager, as I said, the responsibility is you have that airfield, it's yours to keep it open. That's your main goal. And anytime something happened, and there was this one circumstance where, I won't go into too much detail, but the airfield had to be shut down for over an hour. And I saw the B-1s lining up. We were also one of the main stations for the KC-35. So those were the refuelers for the jets that are already in the air. The helicopters are in there. All that giving support to people on the ground, as you said, the boots on the ground. And so I operate in frustration it was a little over 6 months, not that long, but that whole time I was operating in frustration to make sure that, you know, those boots on the ground got it. Because I came from a base where I saw what happens if those planes don't get there.
It's critical.
And, yes, absolutely.
And the word critical does not come close to describing when you're under fire, you're under attack, and you're waiting for that support in seconds or hours, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because of it's so intense of the enemy action, and you know that your support's out there someplace. You just don't know why it's not there yet.
Yeah,
exactly. And in me, that was a personal mission. I took it upon me personally and said, I need to get this resolved and get the airfield operational again. So it was definitely a crazy 6 months with that in the back of my mind, you know.
Was that weather related or was it mechanical issue?
It was an aircraft related issue. In my mind, it was a silly one that shouldn't have happened, but it was something that I was the shift leader. So pretty much it was up to me to make sure I got everyone together to get that aircraft situated and resolved. And the base I was at, it was Al Udeid. Out there in Qatar, there was a lot of different nations that did operate out of there.
Yes.
So it wasn't just the U.S.
Yeah, the Russians also.
Yep. Yeah, we had a lot of NATO runs coming in and out, which kind of caused its own network of problems. but
when we were out to Qatim, which is central Iraq, they're just a few miles away from Fallujah.
Okay.
It was the Air Force. It was a multi-use facility, and the Russians used to fly in with these massive cargo aircraft.
Yep.
And you didn't even know how they got off the ground because of their technology. But it was just amazing to see those things come in. And, you know, just like I flew in out of a couple of those, when you're in the C-130, they do a nosedive directly for the ground, directly over the runway, and they literally put out the flaps and yank on the brakes and you put it on the ground because there's so much anti-aircraft fire that's in the air, small arms fire, that you want to be as small as target as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every once in a while we would have an emergency landing on the bases and stuff because of what's happened out there,
sure.
You know, so, and they have to get somewhere that's safe. But yeah, absolutely. So the reason I got out is when I was in the military, I actually, did a couple community college classes. Believe it or not, when I was at Andrews, they kind of partnered with a community college there. And I took a class, which was, called anthropology, which is the study of humanity. And it just hit me at the right time being in the military, seeing what I'm seeing.
Sure.
And then here I am taking a class on, you know, what to look out for to see what people are going through, you know, how people develop and stuff like that. And then going through my deployment and seeing all the, you know, just being frustrated and stuff like that. I was like, you know what? I could go even more, you know, I could go even bigger than this.
Right.
And so that's what really encouraged me to get out and say, I'm going to support these people. You know, these people coming back on the C-17s, you know, that are getting this recovery. You know what? My mission now, I want to make it to where I help them. I help them recover.
That's a totally different mental concept.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that that's fantastic that you have that mindset. And I think that that's one of the things is after coming back from the war, you see the most detrimental part of humanity. The IEDs and the tearing apart of bodies and flesh, the capture of American troops and the beheading and the torture, and the things like that, which are, the psychological warfare along with the physical warfare that you see. They don't talk a lot about it in the media at all. It's the same thing that the Japanese did to the Americans during World War II and the American prisoners and things like that. And to witness some of those things and come back, there has to be another way for us to be able to lift up those who serve and to get them out of those gutters, the gutters of seeing the trash of humanity and then coming home and having nobody care because they have never seen it, they've never experienced it, so why should they care? We come back after seeing the worst of the worst, and then we're expected to live our lives in a better way without any support. And that's why it's so important for us to have these support programs because we don't talk about the gutter. We live it. We see it. We breathe it. We dream about it at night. It wakes us up. Mm-hmm. It tears us apart, ruins relationships and everything else.
Yeah.
But we never have a solid solution to the answer to those. And when you come back like yourself and like yourself, Millie, and you have the opportunity to work with veterans who have been in these situations and you can relate to them because of where you've been and what you've seen, you don't have to be in combat to understand and know what a fellow military person went through because you've worn the same uniform. You know what the same standards are. You know what the same integrity is. Mm-hmm. And you've already been dedicated to that in an honorable way. And so we're down to our last minute and a half. Millie, do you have any final statements that you'd like to talk about or pass along? And then you're both coming back, okay? We'll talk about the other programs next, because I want you to finish talking about yourselves this morning.
I think if I had anything else to say is go Army, beat Navy.
Oh,
sorry,
Air
Force.
Air Force out of there.
That's okay. We'll stay up in the sky and just watch.
Need to overwatch. Yeah. You know, and what about you, James?
I don't know if I could beat Millie there. I'll just keep sitting in my chair. No, you know, just coming back to just that there's support for you, you know, and just got to come home with that, and you're not alone.
And I think that's the biggest thing to remind our veterans, either young and old. Yeah. They're not alone, but a lot of times, especially with the isolation in our society right now, but even isolation before that, that we don't reach out and shake their hand enough and say thank you.
Right.
We're a thumb society that talks on a cell phone with the text. There is no social interaction anymore. And we as humans need social interaction. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the programs that we've developed with Battlefield, where people come and they socialize and they talk and they can bring out different things that they need to discuss. And the same with your programs there at the college, how important it is for these individuals to know, hey, you're not alone. You've got people here that are like-minded. If you just want to sit here and talk, if you don't want to talk, if you just need somebody to just kind of hang out with, we're here to support you. I'm not going to throw darts at you. I'm not going to tell you what you did was wrong. I'm just going to say, hey, buddy, let's go have a Coke or something.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is that mm-hmm. you're going to do. I mean, you're on the mm-hmm. college, so you're not drinking on the college. But, I mean, whatever it is to be able to share that and to let them know that they're not alone and there's a better way out there.
Right, and that it's okay to not.